Well, to be thankful that the Lord hears our prayers, even our grumblings and struggles. And He now brings us to the Word of God. So turn with me in the Scriptures to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 23, the whole chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, these are the words of our God. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in faith, being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through faith. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. And beloved, that ends the reading of the Word of our God. The chapter begins with Paul showing concern for the Colossians, the church there, wanting to be present with them to encourage them, reminding them of the blessings of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The concern especially arises with Paul when he gives them, he tells them to consider the false teachers, to be warned about them. He wants them to be encouraged by his presence among them, by hearing the word of God, so that no one will delude them to believe persuasive arguments. There are many in the world and in the church today who can provide persuasive, good, sounding arguments for various things, for false belief or false things, false practices even in the church. And so those arguments being not found in the Word of God at all, Paul is here saying, be careful. Verse 6, as you received Jesus, walk in Him. That is, walk in, hearing His Word, being in His Word. Walk in Him, in union with Him. Be rooted and built up in Him. Established in your faith with overflowing gratitude to the Lord for saving you. What is that overflowing gratitude of Him saving you? It is worshiping Him. Be careful also, he says, of worldly philosophy. He's talking about Gentile philosophy and empty deception. There are the traditions of men, he says. They're based on principles of the world, not upon Christ Himself and His Word. But what is true? Verse 9, Jesus is fully God. He's come in bodily, physical form, and so He is God and man. And in union with Jesus Christ, you have been made complete. And Jesus, who is head and king over all, it is in Him that you were circumcised in your heart. That is, the sin nature has been cut off. You're in union with Him in His death and resurrection through faith. And there in those verses 11 and 12, we see words that are used similarly, circumcision and baptism, that we'll talk about more this evening when we get to the book of Acts and the covenant promises there. But we do see how those words are used similarly to show similar truths. And so this Jesus, reminding them of what did Jesus do to bless them and bless us in such a way? Well, he says, just as, if you didn't know this, Ephesians, Colossians, very similar books. He says, Jesus took you who were dead in your trespasses. That's Ephesians 2. Dead in your trespasses and sins, and He's made you alive together with Him. The dead of your sins He took upon His own body when He died on the cross, and having rose from the dead, He ascended on high. He's now seated at the right hand of God. He's seated on the throne over all rulers and authorities. He is the sovereign God. But there are teachers called Judaizers that you'll have to deal with, church in Colossae. Know this, the ceremonial law was just a shadow pointing forward to Christ. Some here believe in the church today, believe the fourth commandment is done away with because of what it says in verse 16. But literally, it is not. It does not say Sabbath day. It says, if you look at the original in the Greek, it says Sabbaths. It's referring to the ceremonial law. It's referring to the many Sabbaths that were partaken in. It's referring to feast days and festivals, particularly the letting of the land to rest on the seventh year. It's talking about the year of Jubilee and the 49th year when all debts were basically forgiven. It's talking about those Sabbaths, the ceremonial law, the aspects of the ceremonial law. All of them he's talking about here, the food or drink in respect to festival or new moon. He says they're a mere shadow of the things that were to come that are fulfilled in Christ now and abolished now. And yet the Judaizers, just as Galatians was pointing to, so it is here, the Judaizers kept pushing these things upon the Gentiles. And so Paul, warning the church about this, he's saying, beware of their teaching. We also see some things that they were doing that are prevalent in our day. At the end of verse 18, he says, taking his stand on, that is the Judaizer, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. People today in the church say, you know, I've seen a vision. the child who has gone to heaven, so-called, and now has a great book deal, making hundreds of thousands of dollars. People in the church claiming that, well, I've seen something, I've heard a word from God, and yet it's not in the Scriptures. It's been, as it says here, inflated by their own fleshly minds, sinful minds. And so we need to be aware of even people who would say such things as that. Beloved, those who do not hold fast to Christ, you are to beware of such people. Who holds us together as the church? It is not the traditions of men. It's not what we've always done. It is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. And so if you have died to the elementary worldly things, he says, do not submit yourself to the traditions of men. Because the traditions of men are what? They've been inflated. They've been created. And as we'll hear even in the Exodus passage this day, by the traditions of men, by their fleshly minds. If it's not in the Word of God, then we ought not to worship in such way. These things we must turn from. Not worshiping any other, but worshiping Jesus alone. Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so let us contemplate that. Now as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You and thank You for this reminder and Your Word to be careful of teachings in the church and teachings outside the church, to always have that, as we see in Acts, the discernment, the Berean discernment, where they heard the Scriptures and they went home and they studied the Scriptures to make sure they were true of what they heard. Father, we ask that You would give us that discernment today and in our day, when we're in worship, when we're outside of worship, when we're with Christians, when we're with the world. Give us discernment of what is good and godly and true and what is not. Our Father, our soul is in danger if we do not. Father, keep us from the evil one. Keep us from the traditions of men. Even here in our worship, Father, we know that we are not above using our own fleshly minds to twist the Scriptures and to create traditions. And so, Father, always, especially with the elders, cause us to be contemplating what we are doing in worship and how that compares to the Scriptures. Now, we would be searching the Scriptures to search how we ought to worship You, for Your Word says, and as it has to do with worship, that we are not to take away or add to Your commands. And so, Father, if there's anything that we've added to Your Word or taken away from Your Word, and this has to do with worship especially, Father, turn us from such things and turn us unto You, that we would worship You, the living God, in the way that You want to be worshipped, for You are God and we are not. And these things humble us, that we would not continue in the ways that we've always done, and because we've always done them, therefore we must do them that way. Father, give us humility in our hearts, that we would glorify You. Father, we know that in our worship, whether in what we're doing or how we're doing it, in our motives, in our hearts, Father, we know because of Your Word that we are still has sin remaining. There, our worship that we offer to You now is still has corruption and defilement in it, sin. And Father, we ask that You would perfect our worship by Your Son, our Mediator, our Intercessor, who is our Advocate, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. And these things we ask that You would turn us from our sin and forgive us. As we confess them now, I ask that You would not make it just a bland confession where we just confess and we go home and continue living the same way, but that You would turn us from our sin unto You, that we would live holy lives for Christ Jesus. Father, we have sinned in great ways, and yet You're a God who is freely forgives us, who freely forgives us in Your Son. Thank you for his sacrifice, for the gospel, which we believe. Father, cause us to continue believing and be strengthened in our faith. We would be built upon Christ and rooted firmly upon him, the rock, and not the shifting sand. And Father, we ask these things for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.